Hello there, Cornerstone. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Owen. I'm the son of Andrew and Morwen. I'm also the pastor of Grace Church Cardiff, based here in the south of the capital city. I want to start by saying thank you to those of you who pray for us. As you can imagine, the last few months have been a time of difficulty and of opportunity. A difficulty because we're a relatively young church. We've got some new believers, some people on the fringes of church life who have really struggled in this time with the lack of connection through church gatherings. So we love your prayers for God to gather those people up and keep them close to him and in church fellowship. It's also, though, been a time of great opportunity. As we've moved our services online and done some outreach events online, we have been joined by guests and seen people take positive steps towards faith in Jesus. We've also recently had the opportunity arise of running some socially distanced community lunches for families with children on free school meals in the area. So that's going to be taking place through the summer holidays. So please pray for us as we take these opportunities God seems to be opening up, that they will bear genuine fruit for the gospel and for his kingdom. I want to speak to us this morning on the theme of walking with God in a world of death. Walking with God in a world of death. The year is 2020. You don't need me to remind you that we are vulnerable as human beings. Our vulnerability has been placed front and center before us this year. And in a culture that normally trains and teaches us to insulate our lives and build a cocoon so that uncertainties and difficulties can't get in, we've been freshly exposed to how vulnerable it is to live as human beings in this world. The Bible is remarkably realistic about our vulnerability as human beings. And as the book of Genesis, the origin story of the Bible, introduces us to humanity, it does so by acknowledging, first of all, that our story, though marred by vulnerability, doesn't start there. Genesis 5, 1 and 2 introduces humans like this. When God created man, he made him in the likeness of God. He created the male and female and blessed them. Our story starts in the blessing of Almighty God, marked by divine favor, delighted in by God himself. But as human beings wander away from God on their own path, as they turn away from God's good plan to enjoy and experience his blessing, we find human existence unraveling. And the curse spoken of in Genesis 3 brings brokenness on every level of human existence, brokenness in relationships between humans and God, between man and woman, between humanity and the world. But the ultimate sign of the unraveling of human existence, turned away from God's blessing and experience of his goodness, the ultimate sign of this unraveling is death. And in the rest of Genesis 5, we see the reality of death like a rhythm that frames human existence. You read this chapter and it's literally like a drone in a piece of music. Adam lived, he had offspring, and he died. Seth lived, he had offspring, and he died. The drone, the rhythm of death, is what makes us so vulnerable as human beings. We've turned away from God. We've opened the door to the fragility and vulnerability and dangers of forces outside of our control, and death is foremost among those, a sign that we have turned our backs on God. And so the question that looms over Genesis, that shot through the whole story of the Bible, and that I would argue is shot through human existence, the big question is, how will we find redemption? How will we be restored to that state of enjoying and experiencing the blessing of God as human beings were designed to? Where will redemption come from? How will the rhythm of death be reversed so that humans can live free in the presence of God again? The answer comes later in this chapter, Genesis chapter 5, we find an unexpected interruption in the rhythm of death. After generations have lived and had offspring and died, lived and have offspring and died, lived and had offspring and died, comes a man by the name of Enoch. Verse 21 says, when Enoch had lived 65 years, he became the father of Methuselah. And after he had become the father of Methuselah, Enoch walked with God. He walked with God 300 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Enoch lived 365 years. And just as we're anticipating, yeah, I know how this goes, and then he died. Verse 24 says, Enoch walked with God, then he was no more because God took him away. An unexpected interruption arrives in the rhythm of death. And this interruption revolves around a man who walks with God. It's easy to get distracted in this chapter by the ages of human beings who lived. We've got to remember they were really close to the Edenic, perfect existence of mankind in the presence of God. Smarter people than me can explain more than that, but that's not what's supposed to grab our attention in this chapter. No, not the ages of these people, but the life of Enoch. A man who walked with God and didn't die, but was taken by God, was no more. The secret seems to be in this simple phrase, Enoch walked with God. What is it that reverses death, that interrupts the rhythm of death, that brings redemption to human vulnerability caused by our sin? It's a man who walks with God. In Genesis 3, verse 8, a couple of chapters earlier, describing humanity living in the life-giving presence of God in harmony, before we had turned and walked our own way, it says that God, the Lord God, walked with man in the cool of the day. Somehow here in this fallen world, this world that has become unraveled, this man Enoch has found his way back towards the original calling of human beings. He seems to be experiencing the blessing of friendship with God, the blessing that mankind knew in the Garden of Eden. Something had happened, something had grabbed Enoch's heart that meant that he didn't walk in his own path, a path towards destruction, separated from God, a path in the rhythm of death, but he walked on a different path, a path with God. It says that he began walking with God after he had fathered Methuselah. It makes me wonder whether the wonder and miracle of seeing his son born awakened him to the reality of God. Those of us who are walking with God, however much we're stumbling and fall, can point to a moment when we began that journey. Maybe go back there in your minds this morning, remind yourself of how it all began. Enoch had a child, and then he walked with God, it says, for 300 years. And the legacy of this man's life, therefore, is not death, but of friendship with God. And this is what brings redemption, a legacy of friendship with God. Now, what does walking with God mean? What does it mean to walk with God? As you look through the Bible's use of this phrase, of this idea, I think we find four things. Number one, walking with God means loyalty to him. Walking with God means loyalty to him. If you think about civil rights marches, for example, by walking in the crowd in a common cause, you are showing that you are with them. You are loyal. You buy into this cause. Walking with someone suggests a loyalty to them. Genesis 17, verse 1, God comes to Abraham and says, walk before me and be blameless. The invitation of God is to turn away from loyalty to the systems of this world and to become loyal to him. To walk with God is to stand with him, even if it means swimming against the tide of the culture that we are living with. Look at Noah's example in the next chapter, Genesis 6, verse 5. Verse 9. Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time, and he walked with God. To walk with someone is to agree with them. And to walk with God is to enter into agreement with him, to say, God, I want to be loyal to your ways and your values, not those of this world. To walk with God means loyalty to him. Enoch was loyal to God. Secondly, to walk with God means intimacy with him. It speaks of intimacy. You go back to that picture of the Garden of Eden and the Lord God walked with humanity in the cool of the day. It's this picture of intimate friendship. See, this is where the picture of walking with the civil rights march falls down slightly. There's an impersonal nature to your relationship with that crowd. You may be in a crowd focused on loyalty to the same cause, but that's different, isn't it, to walking with a friend? You know, in this time where we went from lockdown to being able to meet one household outdoors, we experienced that restored intimacy of walking with someone as a friend. This is what walking with God means, not just loyalty to God's ways in some objective sense, but intimacy with God's person, friendship with him. God desires to be for humanity more than just a gift dispenser, more than just an impersonal God out there. God's heart has always been to be a friend. What a remarkable thing. Let's just pause and consider how remarkable it is that the eternal, almighty God would set his heart towards friendship with human beings. And Enoch's life ends up embodying this. He was a man who walked in loyalty to God, in intimacy with God. Walking with God, thirdly, speaks of consistency for God. Enoch, it said, walked with God for 300 years. Now just imagine all that you could get done in 300 years. I get quite excited by productivity, by getting stuff done. And I think about all you could do if you had 300 years to do it. But Enoch's legacy wasn't that he built an empire, or that he wrote books, or that he decorated houses, or that he binged Netflix. The entire back catalogue you could probably do in 300 years. No, his legacy was for 300 years, he set his heart towards this one thing, walking with God. It speaks of consistency through every season, in the highs and lows, in illnesses and loss, in joys and dreams fulfilled. Enoch was a man who patiently, day by day, walked with God. There's a consistency to this picture. It's not static, there's growth to walking, there's journey and movement, but it's consistent. The only way to walk with God for 300 years is one day at a time, someone once said. Every day, Enoch was a man who set his heart on this consistent goal of walking with God, but had the long view in mind. This was the great north on his compass, the goal of his life, to live in this consistent friendship with God. Walking with God means consistency for him. And finally, walking with God, it speaks of eternity in him. Loyalty to him, intimacy with him, consistency for him, eternity in him. See, in a culture and an age where people's lives were defined by death, Enoch was defined by friendship with God. And it says that then he was no more. There was a seamlessness between his life and what came after. The New Testament will introduce us to the concept of eternal life as this. In John 17, verse 3, eternal life is knowing God, walking with him. This is the essence of the life that we are promised if we belong to Christ, the life after death, eternal life is a continuation of the friendship with God that we start by faith in Jesus in this life, a seamless flow. Enoch's death embodies this, the eternal nature of walking with God. How amazing that we can start now a journey that won't just last a lifetime, but that will last to ever-increasing glory in the world to come. And that makes death, though a sad prospect for those we leave behind, an exciting prospect for those who know we are walking with God. That we shake off the limps and the limits and the distractions of this life, and we walk with him perfectly forever. This is what interrupts the flow of death. This is where humanity finds redemption, in walking with God, in a life of loyalty to God, intimacy with God, consistency for God, eternity in God. And so as we return to that original question, where will redemption come from? How will death be reversed so humanity can again live in the presence of God? The answer that Genesis 5:24 anticipates is through a man who walks with God. You see, Enoch's example, though it is an example to us, ultimately points us to the greater and the better Enoch, to the Lord Jesus. Jesus is the man who walked perfectly with God and is the man who ultimately interrupted the rhythm of death, who ultimately brought a reverse to the curse, who ultimately brings redemption for humanity through what he's accomplished in walking with God. Jesus was the man who, one, was completely loyal to God, swam against the tide of his world, obedient to the law to the full, true to the values of the kingdom of heaven. And like Noah, who built an ark and was scorned at by his culture, so Jesus came speaking of a kingdom not of this world, a kingdom of enemy love, of forgiving your brother 70 times seven, of welcoming children, of loving the Lord God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Jesus was loyal to God and his ways for us. Perfectly obedient where we never could be. We try to walk with God, but we stumble and we falter. Jesus walked with God perfectly. Jesus wasn't just completely loyal to God, he knew complete intimacy with God. He's the only man who ever lived who's lived in perfect fellowship with the Father. And this is why we speak of knowing God through Jesus, because Jesus perfectly reveals what God is like to us. When we come to follow Jesus, it's like Jesus invites us, come and meet my best friend, God the Father. We enter into relationship with God through Christ. Christ knows God intimately from eternity past to eternity future. Christ has been enjoying friendship, intimacy with the Father. And through faith in Jesus, we are invited into that same friendship to walk with God in this way. It's mind-boggling stuff. Boiled down into the simplicity of this picture of walking with God. We walk with God through Jesus, enjoying the very intimate access that Christ himself has with the Father. Thirdly, Jesus walked in perfect consistency with God. Luke 9:51 describes how Jesus set his face early on in his ministry towards Jerusalem. He knew the path before him. He knew what God was calling him to. All of his life was undeterred from this great end to go to Jerusalem, to persevere to his final destiny, to be faithful to God's call. And consistently, he walks to Jerusalem because in Jerusalem, he will find a cross. A cross where he will walk up Calvary's hill bearing on his back the symbol of our wrong, our sin, our waywardness, our walking away from God, as he bears the cross on his back And it says in Hebrews, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, consistent to the end. Aren't you so thankful Jesus was consistent? Where we're so often marked by inconsistencies, by ups and downs, by not doing anything for 300 minutes, let alone 300 years, Jesus eternally was focused on walking the cross for the sins of you and me, so that we could enter into friendship with God despite how frail and fragile we are, so we could have the flow of death interrupted in our lives, but being restored to friendship with our Maker. Jesus was consistent for you. And finally, Jesus walked with God in perfect eternity. See, Jesus is the only one who defeated death ultimately. Yes, Enoch lived, had offspring, walked with God and was taken away. But Jesus lived perfect life in friendship with God, died a death in our place and rose again. Triumphed over death once and for all, entered into the presence of God for all eternity. And now, Hebrews says, he is our forerunner. He has gone before us, blazing a trail so that we can follow after him as his friends, walking the path that he has trod into eternity with God forever. Jesus has done all this for us. I remember a few years ago, Charlotte, my wife, and we just had one little boy then, we've got two now. They went on holiday for a couple of days before me. I was finishing off some stuff to do with work and to do with our house. We were preparing to move at the time. And I can remember her sending me some pictures from the place, and it was a beautiful cottage in Devon, and it was an amazing, stunning place. And there I was finishing up my duties while she had gone before me and was beckoning me. This is what awaits you. Rest is coming. So Christ has done for us. He has walked from this life. He's walked through what we have walked through. He knows our suffering and our pain, but he has arrived on eternity's shores and he beckons us to come into his Father's presence with him, to follow him there. This is how death has been reversed. This is how the rhythm of death has been interrupted. This is how humanity has been redeemed through a man who walked with God. And so, however vulnerable you feel today, can I encourage you to walk with God? Enter into friendship with him through Jesus today. Receive the gift that Christ offers you of being a pilgrim, a journeyer, a walker with God. And if you do walk with God, let me encourage you to be loyal to him. Are you in agreement with God? Is there any area of your life that's showing disloyalty to God? Repent today. Say, Lord, I want to be loyal to you like Enoch was. Are you walking in intimacy with God? What is your relationship with God like today? Intimacy grows through time. It grows through honesty. It grows through intentional investment. I want to encourage you, grow as an intimate friend of God, not just one of the crowd, but someone who knows him personally, deeply, truly, intimately. That's what Christ has opened up for each one of us. It doesn't matter if we're not spiritual mavericks feeling the top of the world. Whoever we are, this kind of friendship with God is on the table. Christ bids us come and know him intimately. Are you walking with God in consistency? Pray for the Spirit's help in walking consistently with him through the ups and downs of this life, but one day at a time, inviting God to be your friend on the journey. An eternity with him. Are you excited to go from this life to the next, knowing that Christ has gone before? That through faith in him, Jesus will take us into the other side of death to walk with God in perfection forever. Let me pray. Father, it's my prayer for everyone listening today that the legacy of their lives would not be like the legacy of just human beings in this world lived and died, and that was it. But that our legacy would be that we were men and women that walked with God. Like Enoch of old, through Christ, that this would be our legacy. In Jesus' name, amen.